Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Explore the tropics at Whole Foods Market through April 16th. Save on juicy finds like yellow mangoes at 5 for $5 with Prime. Sweet DecoPond citrus is back, just $3.49 per pound with Prime. Plus, save on seasonal favorites like dragon fruit, kiwi, pineapple, and more. In the meat department, pick up animal welfare certified meats with tropical-inspired marinades. And be sure to try the spicy Hawaiian pizza, back for a limited time, only at Whole Foods Market.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now is closer to drained and very far away from bursting with energy. That is because I have spread myself too thin. So what I've had to do is press a quick pause on my life and ask myself, what can I do to recharge and then also not get myself back into this position again? And pausing with the question is a tool that I learned in therapy, a check-in tool. Therapy has given me so many tools, very simple ones such as that one, to more involved ones like setting big boundaries. And it isn't just for those that have had some big life event or experienced major trauma. It's for everyone. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Get yourself some tools to have in your toolbox. It's entirely online. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can also switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. I'm about to go try to press pause so that I can come up with a plan to recharge my social battery, and I'm thankful for that tool. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/4things today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/4things. I feel like there are so many weddings right now and even people planning vacations for the summer, celebrating a birthday, whatever the case. Maybe you're just going on a trip for something and you need a new carry-on. Well, Macy's has got you covered. Macy's Friends and Family Sale, the one you wait for, where you can get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale, like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more. They've got 15% off beauty, makeup, and more, plus free shipping at $25, April 25th to May 5th, Macy's.com and in store.
Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more things. Tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
Happy Thursday. For today's episode, I am joined by Christine Pride and Joe Piazza, and super excited about the novel that you both wrote and talking about the importance of this novel here on the podcast today. So the book is called We Are Not Like Them. And why don't y'all just break down what inspired y'all to write this book together and the special meaning behind it and how it's going to be a great even conversation starters for other friends that might be reading it together.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, we want more than anything for this book to start great conversations. Christine was my, this is Joe. Hi, by the way. I always forget it's harder in audio. And Christine was my editor on my last novel and we became fast friends. And another thing that's hard to tell in audio is that I am a white woman and Christine is a Black woman. And we decided to write this story together about two lifelong friends, a white woman and Black woman, who really have to reckon with race in their relationship for the very first time in their adult lives as a partnership, so that we could each bring our different perspectives on race to the table. But we wanted to put it in a novel. We wanted to put it in fiction, in a story that at its core is about friendship, because we want to make it easy and accessible for friends, for book clubs, for anyone to start what we think is a very important conversation about race in America today.
Well, I want to touch on four things specifically with y'all today. And the first thing would be, why is it so hard to talk about race? And then I want to get into, interracial friendships and why it's so hard to make them. And then also writing a book together as two friends. And I know there's even a story of how it, almost blew up your friendship. And then the fourth thing being writing a book about social justice and cancel culture, because that is something that's very real that everyone kind of has to think about in this day and age. So let's start with the why is it so hard to talk about race?
Actually, this is something, it's Christine here. This is something that surprised me as a Black woman, because I've always, and I feel really fortunate to have had a lot of interracial friendships from a young age. I mean, I think a lot of it is just by virtue of where I grew up in suburban Maryland. And so I have always been having these conversations about race. And, as a Black person in America, you can't avoid talking or thinking about race. You know, at the family dinner table, it's something that I've been doing since I could actually talk. And before that, I was listening and absorbing, And so it's always been obviously a part of the fabric of my life. And then when Joe and I were working on this novel together and really starting to get into these conversations, it really became clear to me. In a way, I really, frankly, just being transparent here, didn't quite understand before how scared white people are to talk about race. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I think some people are just afraid to say the wrong thing or to be misinterpreted, or that it just feels so uncomfortable to them that they want to avoid it. And then there are, of course, the people who just don't care to talk about race, right? That just feel like this doesn't matter and this is not something that affects my life and I don't need to do that, so why would I? It kind of covers the gambit. And so learning that and really having that sink in and really having that come up in, even Joe and I's conversations, it made the book that much more even mission oriented for me, almost, in terms of this book being that tool, being a way for people to talk about race that feels both relatable, but also at a little bit of a distance, right? You're not necessarily talking about your own experiences, which hopefully you get there and it's harder to do, but this is a way for you to talk about race via our characters. And that can be a good baby step into these conversations for a lot of people who are just now having them for the first time.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are fictional characters, but how did y'all design them intentionally? Like, I guess, or maybe give an example of something the characters encounter or go through that might spark up a conversation in a book club or between two friends that are reading it. Like, how would it ignite that conversation about race?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we were writing We Are Not Like Them, we both completely wrote each character. We both wrote the Black character and the white character together. Everyone thinks, oh my God, the white lady must have written the white character and the Black lady must have written the Black character. That is not the case, but we did bring our own conversations to the fiction. And like Christine said, she, as a Black woman, essentially, has a PhD in race. She's been talking about this her whole life. And yet I came to this and as, very educated woman, I'd call myself I have a big circle of friends, but I don't have any close Black women friends or Black men friends. And so, no, I was not comfortable talking about the ins and outs of race beyond the superficial. And I want to be really honest about that because I think a lot of people can relate to it. Like, we want to say that we feel comfortable, but a lot of people don't. And so we had to have a conversation where I said to Christine, I'm like, why don't I feel comfortable talking about some aspects of race or social justice or the recent police shootings of Black men? And a lot of it is because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of saying the wrong thing. I'm afraid of sounding stupid. I'm afraid of sounding ignorant or at the worst being offensive when I didn't mean to be offensive. And you brought up cancel culture. And of course, I am terrified of saying the wrong thing. And so we put that directly on the page in our book, where our white character says to our Black character, I don't talk about race with you because I don't know what I should be saying. And she's vulnerable and she's honest and she's scared. And it's not necessarily okay, but I think that a lot of white readers will see themselves in our white character, Jen, when she says, I'm afraid of sounding stupid or saying the wrong thing. And then with her, they'll be able to move to the next stage, which is, okay, how do we talk about it now?
I love that it's fiction, but it helps, gives us a guide of how to actually engage in this type of conversation. Because, I mean, I, as a white woman, 100% didn't start having these conversations till probably about a year and a half ago because of stuff that was in the news and prompted me to do so and made me take a real hard look at my relationships and my life and how I was just going about kind of not addressing things because they weren't right in front of me. But then at the same time, I was like, oh, wait a second, I'm raising two Black children, so I need to start paying attention and I need to start making some shifts and I need to start having real conversations, especially with some of my friends. Fortunately, I felt I could be super open with and comfortable and inviting them on the podcast, and we recorded it out so that other people could hear and maybe hear what we were doing and mirror it. But still, it's even after you put in the work and you've read some books and you're having the tough conversations, I'm just admitting, especially for any other white women listening right now, like it's still scary at times because, like you said, Joe, the number one thing we don't want to offend. So mm-hmm. I haven't read your book yet, but I ordered it and I am super excited because I think that this will be, and maybe my listeners will want to do it too. And we can kind of do a little mini book club and engage and talk back and forth about it because we've been looking for a novel to do it with, and maybe this will be the perfect one.
Oh yeah, we would love that. And if you guys want to do a little book club, we'll come back and you can talk amongst yourselves without us, but then we can come answer any questions that you want for the whole group. We did one last week with the company Heineken, and the conversations that came out of it were amazing. Christine and I both cried because we had men that read the book, men who were not our target audience, a white man and a Black man. And they were just so open about race in ways that we never expected. I thought it was the coolest thing that we've done so far.
Okay, I'll take you up on it. I think this sounds so fun, and we need to do a little book club and do a virtual meeting or hang time. And I think having y'all there would be so fun.
Ah, summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
All right, I really appreciate that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes that make a big difference. So if shopping sustainably this year is on your list of things to do, well, look no further than Macy's. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, On 34th, Elmas, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in-store and learn more at macys.com/purpose. All right, if you want to look cute and feel comfortable at the same time when you're, you know, at a festival or a concert, because it's festival and concert season right now, it's got to be all about the boots. And Tecova's boots is where it's at. That is your stop before attending your next concert. I've loved my Tecovas. Anytime I wear them or I get a new pair, they feel comfortable on the first wear. I don't have to break them in. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. And all Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, which is super cool. They've got timeless styles that are always on trend. And really, you just got to stop by your local Tecovas store, try them on for yourself, and see what I'm talking about. You can have a complimentary drink while you're there, shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, which I love. And they've got regular live music and events. There's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S and find your new favorite pair of boots today. All right. It's wild to think that women were excluded from clinical research until 1993 when the law was changed. And women are essential to research. And Ritual, the maker of my favorite multivitamin, they know this. They do the research for us so that we can feel confident about what we're putting in our bodies. Now, a clinical trial for Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus showed increased vitamin D and omega-3 DHA levels in women in just 12 weeks. Now, as you can see, Ritual is clinically backed, which means they care about getting it right. Essential Women 18 Plus has 9 high-quality key nutrients in 2 delayed-release capsules. Yep, just 2 capsules a day is all you need. And the delayed release, what that does is it optimizes our body's absorption. Ritual is really intentional about all that they do, including the delayed release. Also, the minty flavor of the capsules and the look of them. They're really pretty in the bottle. Like, this is a vitamin that I don't mind having out on my bathroom counter. They look good, they taste good, and they help me feel good. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin that you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/4things. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/4things for 25% off. So go back to how y'all's friendship started and, you know, what that even looked like, because some people that have been looking to diversify their relationships, they look around and they're like, well, this is harder than I thought. And then they want it to be genuine too. Like, you don't want to force things, but sometimes you have to step outside of your bubble to meet people. So how did it happen for y'all?
Well, Joe and I actually met working together. I was her editor at Simon & Schuster, where I was still working full time as a book editor. And, you know, in a way, that's an unconventional way to meet, but in a way, it is representative in that our society is so segregated socially, meaning like the activities that we do and where we live and schools, et cetera, that oftentimes work is the most diverse place we're at, right? Our offices are where we see the most people that look different than we do. And so Joe and I met in that capacity, in a very professional capacity, but it quickly tipped over into a friendship in that way that when you know, meet somebody, there's, you know, kind of that meet cute spark, and we just had so much in common and we had so much fun working together. So we worked on her novel, Charlotte Walsh Likes to Win. And then we did another project together that I was publishing at Simon & Schuster that was a tie into the television show Marriage Vacation, which is a show set in publishing, which is very fun. But we had to do that very quickly. That book had a 4 to 5 week deadline. And so that meant we were really collaborating together, less like writer editor and more like co-writers, you know, in a Google Doc. And that just gave us another sense of how fun it would be to work together and how well we worked together. So I had this idea kicking around about an interracial friendship that's affected by a police shooting. And the more we talked about it, the more it made sense for us to write it together, bringing both of our different perspectives and experiences to the table. And that would be a richer, better book and a more unique opportunity than if each of us wrote the book separately. And part of that is because, you know, Joe is privy to conversations that I'm not privy to as a Black woman, right? Like, she is hearing what other white people are saying and that people would not necessarily ever say in front of me, and vice versa, right? I'm in all Black spaces a lot where we have conversations amongst all Black people, you know, that are very different than the conversations that you have in quote unquote, we call it mixed company. And so by bringing both those perspectives to the table, right, we're allowing the reader to, I mean, eavesdrop almost, if you will, right, on both sides of things, and then see what the characters say and hear in separate spaces, and then what they say to each other. And that is where the, interesting dynamics lie. And that is where there's a lot to learn. And that is where, when we have conversations that are more open and honest in that arena, right, where people are coming together, that's where the progress is made.
No, I love that. You know, you mentioned the shooting, but y'all interviewed real life people in different professions that have been through mm-hmm. something like that and incorporated their stories into the book. What did that look like?
We did. And, you know, I want to piggyback on what Christine just said, too, and what you just said, Amy. As a white woman who does want to diversify my social circles, it isn't easy. And I joke all the time, but there is some seriousness in this. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Like, walk up to the one Black woman in my yoga class in my neighborhood and be like, would you like to watch The Bachelor with me? To make a new friend of any race is hard as a grown-up, I think. Like, I haven't expanded my social circle really, except for Christine, in years. So I think that we do have to give people grace. And our biggest tip is step outside your comfort zone. Like, go to that town hall meeting that you might not normally go to on school zoning, or go to a book reading by a Black author that you might not normally have on your to be read list. Like, put yourself in a place where you might be the minority, and then it may be easier for you to start up some of these conversations. But yes, to the other question, I'm a reporter. I've been a reporter for 20 years. So I report all of my fiction the same way that I would a New York Times or Wall Street Journal story. And Christina and I did so many interviews with police officers' wives, with shooting victims, with the mothers of shooting victims, all because we wanted our characters to be real human beings. None of this is black and white. All of these issues live in a world of gray that the media is terrible at conveying, and also terrible at giving us a place for common ground. We didn't want anyone to be a clear-cut villain in this book. We wanted everyone to be a fully formed, fully flawed human being that has good and bad and absolutely everything in between.
What happened with y'all's friendship in the making of this book? I just saw like a teaser that there was some sort of a blow up. And, you know, I think that anybody listening right now too, they might not be writing a book together, but they may work with a friend. Uh-huh. And there may be certain things that come up. So, you know, just sharing whatever happened with y'all might help someone.
Well, we're really honest about that. I mean, part of it is that writing a book is just really hard to do, period. And then writing a book with somebody else is really hard to do. There are creative differences. There are logistical challenges. I mean, there was a big learning curve for us to dive into this process. But we also always say that Riley and Jen, our characters, were very young when they met, right? So to have this lifelong friendship. So they met when they were 5 or so. And so race wasn't a factor in their lives. I mean, that's really the only time in your life, in America, at least, that, you know, you're not going to be conscious of race, right? When you're a child. So they weren't having these conversations through elementary school, you know, junior high school, et cetera. And so it was almost in adulthood, when this police shooting happens, that they're both so personally involved with, that they are forced to really have this conversation for the first time and really delve into these hard things. And similarly, in a case of sort of art imitating life or vice versa, since Joe and I were relatively new friends, we hadn't also dove into any of these issues, right? And so since we were writing this book together about race, you know, race was coming up in a lot of our conversations. And since we never talked about it, we were having the same kind of growing pains conversations of frustration of why don't you get this, or why is this so hard, or why don't you want to talk about this? I'm speaking for my part, you know, and we had to really push through that. And as it isn't for our characters, it was not easy for us at times.
Joe, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, there were a lot of hard times and tears because of everything Christine said. Writing a book together, we essentially decided to go into business together. That's what this is. And this is our career. And we decided to combine them and intertwine them together. And for me, that relationship is, you know, as sacrosanct as a marriage in a lot of ways. Like, it has a lot of the same repercussions. And we had to learn to communicate with each other in a way where neither of us would feel slighted or insulted. And we gave each other grace and the space to make mistakes and to sometimes say the things that maybe they're not right. And maybe like they do sound stupid, but it's how I feel. And for me as a white woman, what I had to do was not be defensive. And I think that was one of the biggest things that I learned, that that is just, that is the response that shuts a conversation down immediately. And as long as I could be receptive to taking feedback, to hearing what Christine had to say, there's a lot that we could get through. But it's the defensive mechanisms, which I think if we're honest with ourselves, they come up because we're scared. Like we're nervous. And that's why we get defensive. And that's why Christine and I want to be really honest about how this went for the two of us. And it's hard. I'm scared to even admit how scared I was, right? I'm like, oh my God, now I'm gonna be canceled for being afraid of being canceled. But I want to, because I want to start these conversations that I think we all have to have. And at the end of the day, Christine and I think, I'm going to speak for her, but we're way better friends now than we were. We're in a great place. We just started working on our second book together, but we had to get really comfortable with being uncomfortable and going to places that were hard.
Yeah, I think that's important to remember in anything. I was hanging out with some friends yesterday and they were just talking about the positives and negatives of life. And it's making me think of the positives and negatives of relationships, of like a battery doesn't work if it's just two positives all the time, or it's neutral. A battery doesn't work if it's two negatives all the time. You have to have the good and the bad, and then you grow from it. And that's what gives you the experience. So I don't know, just encouragement too for anyone listening, if they maybe need to reach out to a friend that they have had a falling out with or something they couldn't see eye to eye. And I mean, you set out to write a book that's already highly emotional and can challenge you in different ways. It's not like y'all are like, oh, let's get together and write a love story. I mean, y'all are kind of hitting things head on.
And that's actually what motivated us to keep going, to be honest, right? We've really felt mission-oriented about this book. I think it would have been a lot easier had we not been so invested in the story that we were telling to give up or walk away or, you know, have a book that wasn't the result of our, you know, pouring all of our blood, sweat, and tears into. But the whole time we felt like this book could be important, that could really help people. And I think, you know, we've been talking a lot about how the book hopefully will be able to spark conversations and help people get over their fears and so forth. We were writing this book for a vast audience, which means both Black readers and white readers. And one thing that was really important to me is to see the range of Black experience, presented on the page. And we still, though publishing is getting better at different kind of viewpoints and voices and experiences, it's still very rare to see a certain type of Black heroine star in a commercial novel or women's fiction. And so regardless of, you know, even that racial component of what they need to do and discuss and confront and what that will mean for our characters, I think Riley, as our co-lead, you know, represents the kind of strong, complicated, flawed, not stereotypical, not relying on tropes, you know, kind of character, Black woman that, you know, I certainly have always craved to see on the page. And I know that there are a lot of readers out there who crave to see a character like that on the page and an experience of that character living in America today reflected back to them.
Now, I'm picturing this as like a TV show, so I feel like it needs to get picked up somewhere. And have y'all thought of if it were to develop into something like that and there was a We Are Not Like Them show on, I don't know, Amazon or something, who would play the two lead characters?
Yeah, we have had a lot of conversations and we just started talks with figuring out what it looks like to turn it into a TV show or a movie. And for Christine and I, we want to make sure we find partners that love this material and what we're trying to do as much as we do. And we want to make sure that we have a diverse partnership. You know, we want a lot of Black women at the helm of whatever we're doing with this TV show, because as we well know, that is not always the case. Christine, should we say who our dream Jen and Riley's are?
I feel like it keeps changing, but sure. Maybe they'll hear it.
I don't know. I've been very into Janelle Monáe as Riley. Like I think about it. I had a dream, I told Christine, that Janelle Monáe was Riley, and now I just can't get it out of my head.
So perfect.
And then what about the other character?
From the very beginning, we were actually both kind of into Kristen Bell.
Yes.
She's so relatable and funny, but can also do serious very well. And she's like, our thing with our white character, Jen, it's like, you're pissed at her for a lot of the book. Like she says a lot of ridiculous stuff and she's kind of annoying, but like, she's also a good freaking friend. And like, she's loyal and she would die for your friendship. And I feel like Kristen is just so relatable and you want to be her friend that she could bring so much to that role.
Oh yeah. I mean, I could see both of those roles fitting perfectly. I'm tuning in already. This needs to happen.
Well, Kristen, if you're out there,
join our book club that we're starting with Amy.
Yes. Yeah, we'll do book club first and then we'll turn into a series or like you said, even a movie. I don't know why. My brain is stuck in series mode right now because I'm really into The Morning Show and Ted Lasso. Mm-hmm. And so I'm having to wait every Friday for a new episode to drop. But it does make me look forward to, I mean, I'm already looking forward to Fridays, but I mean, I'm looking forward week to week. But I don't know. Do y'all like to binge things like all at once and have them all out? Or do you like the week to week?
No, I like to binge and I get angry when things are week to week. I'm like, we've established a new precedent that all shows need to be available immediately. And so people who stray from that, like I need it all now. So sometimes I'll save them up so I can recreate my own binge, right? Like let 5 or 6 accumulate over 5 weeks.
No. I miss the old days. I miss the old days where we had to wait and think about a show and it gave us time for all of us to talk about an episode and to let something marinate and sink in, because now everyone is binging something different at different times and we have no common conversation.
That's fair.
I mean, yeah, that's true. And there are studies that are now coming out talking about how binging is like, I don't know, bad for us or something, because we're just sitting there like and our brain is processing too much at once. And then we walk away and we're like, what did we even just watch? And then we're just numbing out. A lot of us, I mean, given the last year and a half too, we're looking for different ways to numb out. And we've definitely done that with the ability to binge. Are y'all watching The Morning Show at all?
Either one? Yes. I just started yesterday, season 2, actually. I love it.
I have not started season 2 yet. I was going to start tonight, but I'm deep into Ted Lasso land, man. I can't stop.
Popular hot take. I do not like Ted Lasso. I'm the only person in America. I know. I've tried and I'm like, maybe it's too heartwarming for me. I don't get it.
You have a cold, dark soul, Christine. I know.
I must. I really must.
Everybody wants to be friends with Ted Lasso.
I know.
But not Christine.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
All right, I really appreciate that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes that make a big difference. So if shopping sustainably this year is on your list of things to do, well, look no further than Macy's. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, On 34th, Elmas, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in-store and learn more at macys.com/purpose. All right, if you want to look cute and feel comfortable at the same time when you're, you know, at a festival or a concert, because it's festival and concert season right now, it's got to be all about the boots. And Tecovas boots is where it's at. That is your stop before attending your next concert. I've loved my Tecovas. Anytime I wear them or I get a new pair, they feel comfortable on the first wear. I don't have to break them in. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. And all Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, which is super cool. They've got timeless styles that are always on trend. And really, you just got to stop by your local Tecovas store, try them on for yourself, and see what I'm talking about. You can have a complimentary drink while you're there, shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, which I love. And they've got regular live music and events. There's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Hey, it's Amy here to talk about the incredible work being done by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and ask you today to join me in becoming a partner in hope. When you make a donation to St. Jude, you're helping an organization that has helped push the overall childhood cancer survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. And I can tell you from personal experience, that number and the hope that it brings is invaluable. What they are doing at St. Jude is making a huge difference. It is full of joy there, which a lot of families need at that time. They don't need to be worrying about travel, lodging, food, everything is paid for at St. Jude so that families can focus on their child that has cancer. Your support means families never receive a bill from St. Jude. It's only $19 a month, and when you sign up, you'll get the new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope at musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. Well, I want to circle back to your book and it being about social justice and yeah, any concern about the cancel culture. Have y'all had any type of pushback or any reviews or something like you weren't expecting or criticism or even constructive criticism for that matter?
Not yet in terms of the book being on sale. I mean, we were really nervous about it for lots of different reasons. I think part of that is when you try to write for a lot of different audiences, right? The widest possible audience, then there are going to be people who disagree or, you know, don't see themselves in that audience or what have you. And are writing about something, we went into it with clear eye. That is a hot button, quote unquote, issue. So we have prepared ourselves and were prepared. I think the surprise for us in the best possible way is that there's so much positivity around our early reads, you know, both in the media and Goodreads. And we really haven't had a lot of controversy or people finding the material polarizing in any way or problematic. And I think part of that is a testament to how hard we worked to really make this such a nuanced, balanced, character-driven story. That is not a morality tale. It's not something, it's not a lecture in 300 pages sort of thing. And I think people are responding mainly to the storytelling, mm-hmm. right? If you tell somebody a good story, then they'll come along for the ride. And that's just very different than writing an op-ed, which is not what this was and not our intention.
Yeah. And I have a lot of friends who are cops, frankly, who are white cops. And you know, we had someone read a draft early on and their opinion was, who cares what the police think of this book? Who cares? Who cares if you piss off all of the white police officers and police wives? And I'm like, I care. We need to show the humanity behind all of our characters. And we can't just create this caricature of a villainous police officer and his wife. And that's why we spent so much time talking to police officers and their wives and making sure that we tried to like really nail it when it came to their characters and their motivations and how they got into what they're into now. And Christine and I had this one conversation once and I'll never forget it. We're talking about, you know, my grave fear of being canceled. And Christine's like, I think as a Black woman, I'm not afraid of that. And as a white, I feel like you are more afraid of that as a white woman. And it's true. I am. But so far, I think because we have worked so hard at these characters, we haven't gotten negative feedback. We're ready for it if it comes. I have a lot of Hershey's milk chocolate stored up and I'm ready to inhale it. But I also, Christine is, but she reads comments and reviews, and I've written enough things that live on the internet now that I don't read them anymore. So that is the difference between, I asked Christine to just read me the nice ones.
And luckily there are a lot of them. So that does feel good. And I think we also, as much as we wanted to tell a balanced story in terms of obviously not painting any cop in this book, or Kevin, who's one of our main characters, as a one-dimensional villainous person, because that's easy to do, right? To like whitewash cops to be one thing. But I think the flip side to that also is that we see so many headlines and there's about police shootings, and we have so many names in our heads of, you know, unarmed Black men who have been shot, and these headlines come and go. And so in that same way, we didn't want that to be also a nameless, faceless mass of victims, right? That we just, you know, sort of collectively lumped together. And though our victim in this book is obviously fictional, we wanted to provide a lot of humanity in terms of this character and his family and what is happening behind the scenes and the, you know, terrible grief and tragedy that they're feeling as well, right? And so that you see the real personal dimension in all of the angles of this situation. And in that way, you empathize with all of the angles in this situation. And in a way, it was just what Joe was talking about, why we chose fiction. I think it's just, you can connect the story and all these people in a way that you can't reading a newspaper article that might come or go, or watching a 60-second piece on the evening news, right? Like, this is allowing you a different and deeper way into a story that, you know, tragically we hear over and over and over again. And this is a different way to look at that same headline.
Well, I'm super thankful that y'all came together and this is now out in the world. It came out October 5th. So it's been like a couple of days, which I'll be linking the book in my show notes so people can get it. And then I'll be thinking about how I can gather a little book club situation around it. Cause again, I'm excited to read it. And I know that a lot of my listeners will be, and then we'll arrange a time to get back on with y'all. So thank you for putting this story into the world. And I would love to hear from y'all. Something I often do with guests is I like to hear four things that they're thankful for. Since there's two of you though, y'all get to split it up. So Christine, two things that you're thankful for today, big or small, and then Joe, I'll have you do the same.
I'll say the first is my relationship with Joe. We've been doing so much media and interviews like this and podcast over the last few days. And it's really the same way that you're grateful for your coworkers or, you know, and your friends. I feel like this is rolled up into one. We get to spend a lot of time together. It's just the beginning. We're going to be spending a lot more time together. And I feel like it's, sometimes I'll be sitting in interviews with Joe, and even though, you know, we get a lot of the same questions or we're talking about the same things, like something she says surprises me, or, you know, I feel like I learned something about her that I didn't know before in the 3 years that we've been having these conversations. So I think the idea that we can always get closer to our friends and learn more about them and spend time with them, especially coming off of the pandemic, is something that I don't want to take for granted, that I'm always grateful for. And the second thing that I'm grateful for, it's going to sound really superficial, I know, but getting new clothes. During the pandemic, I hadn't bought anything. And then I looked in my wardrobe and I hated everything I owned. And there is something about, right, just having something that new that makes you feel good, that you get that little endorphin bump from buying something. And I don't know, it's just been kind of fun to feel like that's a sign of normal life again, just a new, you know, cute shirt.
Yeah. Well, you just celebrated putting out a book, so you can buy yourself a cute shirt.
Totally. I mean, I don't think that's superficial at all. I'm grateful for Botox right now, man. So, but I have two other things. Botox, and I am grateful actually to our iHeart podcast radio family for putting Amy and I together. And they also create all of my podcasts. And it's kind of a bigger thing that I'm just grateful for all the people that I've worked with who are helping us promote this book, and like the incredible teams that we have behind us who are supporting us in a thousand different ways. And it takes a village to put a book into the world. And Christine and I have this really awesome village that I'm so, so grateful for. And in addition to my village comment, and I don't think that working mothers say this enough, I'm very grateful to have great childcare. I have two babies. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and yet I was able to write this book, and now I'm able to go on book tour because I have a really wonderful, wonderful caregiver who takes care of my kids when I'm a working mom. So I think we just need to celebrate those women that are helping us behind the scenes more often.
I feel like sometimes as working women, though, and we get asked how, especially if you're doing several different things, as you are even with like the podcast and the writing and the book, like, you know, how do you do it all? And it's like, well, okay, I know you've probably heard this before, but not a lot of men get asked that question. They don't get asked that. So then it's like, well, okay, but yeah, we want to shout out that, oh, it's because we, you know, have awesome people that help us with our kids or do whatever. But then there's shame that comes from others that are like, oh, so now you have, you know, someone watching your kids and you're not. And then it's just, so then you just, you know, speaking of being scared to speak, you just kind of like don't bring it up. So I'm thankful that you're recognizing those that are in your life that helping give you that opportunity to go do that, because at the same time, it's a job for them too. And then it's a whole ecosystem that's, you know, surviving because everybody's working together. But there's just, you can't win. And it's like, you're supposed to do it all. But then if you say you have help, then you've got shame for having help. And then you're like, I can't win.
Yes, yes. My husband has never once gotten asked that. He's never once gotten asked, he was gone all week on a business trip. And no one was like, how did you get to leave all week for your business trip? Whereas I am gone for 4 days next week for our book tour. And everyone's like, oh my God, what's going to happen to your children? And I'm like, well, their dad and their babysitter and my mother and all of the people that it takes to raise freaking kids.
Well, I think that's what's interesting about our book too, not to bring it back, but we talk so much about this book being in the context of race. And sure, you know, that comes up a lot, and that is kind of the crisis point for these two friends, but it's a regular friendship where they're dealing, you know, Jen's pregnant and Riley's dating, and, you know, there's other aspects of friendship and womanhood that come up. So I think that to your point, when you read the book, there are other things to talk about working motherhood and being career driven, and, you know, Riley's super ambitious and what that means and what that cost her, and, you know, the choices that we make and how they affect our relationships. And none of that has anything to do with race. That is a very universal.
My favorite thing we talk about is how Jen is pregnant and Riley is not, and she's not in a serious relationship, and how she's worried she's going to be left behind when Jen becomes a mother and has this baby. And how Jen also like desperately wants Riley to have this thing, but Riley doesn't know if she wants it. It's so universal. We've all been there. We've all been these women. And yeah, that has nothing to do with race.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the book is going to achieve the goal with it, of it being a conversation starter for people. And I saw that one of your reviews of the book said something along the lines of like, you're going to be thinking about this book well after you're done with it, or you've turned the last page. And I, you know, you got to love a good novel that's going to be thought provoking and allow for ongoing conversation, even with yourself. Like, I think ongoing conversation with friends, sure, but like you can continue whatever you've read with yourself and your inner dialogue and challenging yourself to take a look at your friendships and how you're handling certain things in life. So I'm here for it. I'm going to gather my troops. We'll do a little book club. So again, the book is We Are Not Like Them by Christine Pride and Joe Piazza.
Yes.
Did I say that right again?
Joe Piazza.
Woo. Okay. Yes. Woo. Okay. Woo. So congratulations. Just super thankful to have had y'all on today for this important conversation. And it looks like I'll be seeing y'all again sometime soon.
We love it. Being here today. Yay. We can't wait to come back. We're going to just come on once a week.
Awesome. I'll take it.
Thank you, Amy.
Summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, They have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget. All right, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth that no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can really make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through things. Now, BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp.com. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, well, just go to tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. All right, this sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage. With Advanced Control Mist, it's a new way to spray. It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. You can even customize your spray, like to cover targeted areas, you just tap the trigger lightly, or you can pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable. From sweat-resistant sport formula to kids SPF 50 plus, this is sun care that'll come in handy when my kids are swimming, playing sports, when I'm hiking, when we're out at the lake, or whatever it is that we're doing outdoors. Shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.